Blog Talk Radio.
Talking.
How I get my get down. My,
you gotta
my
get up
Zumba.
And get down.
That's my Zumba. In fact,
yeah,
I guess
okay.
I could start a new national exercise craze. Chair dance.
And everybody will be tight from the waist up.
From the waist up. Arms be looking good.
Right. Half your stomach
sweating.
Flat.
Yep. Yep, sitting and sweating to the hips.
Sounds like not a little Richard. What was his name? Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons. Or as Eddie did, little Richard Simmons.
That too.
Yeah, it could be the new craze. Get in now. Actually, we probably shouldn't be talking about it on the radio because you know someone's going to try to steal the idea and we'll be sitting watching TV late one night, and there'll be an infomercial with the guy who used to be on the TV show Soul Food.
Darren Henson.
Right, promoting it.
Well, you know what? How about he's one of my clients? So we might have to pull him aside and have a little talky-talk.
We know you listen to the show, man. We know you listen to the show.
Look, I've been hooking your website up for like 4 years, Henson. You gotta do me a favor. You gotta do me a good turn. Hook a sister up.
But it'd be a whole new fashion craze too. Get your waist up sweats out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to worry about investing in shoes because you could do it in clumps.
Not sure how I feels about that. Just sayings.
I swear, you and your fashions.
Me?
Yeah. Got to have the shoes. Got to have
the shoes, got to
match the purse, got to match the top.
Well, you know what? I'm not as ridiculous as I used to be because I used to be like, I would not wear anything that wasn't the same color. I had to have on all purple, all green, all blue, whatever. It was a disease.
it's called unfashionably challenged. I had the same problem.
No, but I wasn't fashionably challenged, you know. I had on all the same shade, and I was tight. You know what cured me?
Benetton?
Birth.
Giving birth or being born?
Giving birth. Because after she was born, I was like, I don't have time to find no purple shirt to match these purple pants to match these purple shoes. Yeah, I know my top is pink and my pants are like orange, but at least I put on clothes today.
Wait a minute. If purple and orange don't match, then how come Easter baskets have those colors in them? See, I go.
Do you wear an Easter basket?
Right out of my way. I go.
Do you wear an Easter basket?
I've seen some people who look like they're wearing Easter baskets.
And that's on them. It will never be me on purpose. It's all about the shades too.
Matter of fact, I believe they were working at the Vatican.
There we go. There we go. Nonetheless, there are days that I look like a Cambodian refugee because I'm too busy to care.
Oh, Cambodian.
I don't look like disheveled. I don't look disheveled, but you might find me, you know, in an orange shirt and some striped blue and green pants. You just might.
I don't
red,
really think.
And red stilettos. Got to have the feet covered.
Oh, toes got to be tight, right?
Right. My toes are always sandal ready. Don't play. Don't play.
See,
my
that's
toes
why I don't know
stay
why you
sandal ready.
To the optometrist to help you out.
Well, but my eyesight is bad.
Yeah, but you need them look with your feet.
Look.
Uh-huh.
You confused me. My IQ is only like 73 today. You backed me into a corner.
Would that be on your 5-minute cushion?
Yes, I'm a 5-minute cushion. I'm a 5-minute cushion. And you know, I do have a thing for handbags. Sorry. Handbags and shoes. That's my thing.
I have no comment.
You know, I wear like sandals and flip flops. I wear sandals and flip flops like most days. And then when I have to break out, you know, like if I have like business wear or something, then I bring out my nice heels and. But not my stilettos. I'm not going to be running around the office in my damn stilettos. And then on the weekends, you know, that's when I kind of get a little dressed up, put on my good shoes, get out my good handbag,
mm-hmm.
and do what I got to do. Don't hate.
Ain't hating. Congratulating.
All right.
Just straight congratulations, baby.
Just so we clear.
Crystal
right,
clear.
Batman. See, don't play.
What?
I'm sure
there's
you got a
reason.
Cape and some tights in your closet. I'm sure of it.
No, I gave that up in the 70s. But there is a reason. There is a reason why I like purple and black.
Oh, man, was that a Ravens reference? Was that a Ravens reference?
Well, no.
I don't
you
like
want to
them.
Know the truth. The reason one of the reasons I became a Ravens fan is because their colors are purple and black. And ever since I was a little kid, purple has been my favorite color, always. So when they got here, we got another football team, and their colors are purple and black. It was inevitable.
You said, aw, sookie.
Exactly. It's going down now. I can break back out the cape and the hat.
And go play on the BART in San Francisco.
Right, and get my pimp back on.
Did you see that naked guy that was terrorizing, literally terrorizing the passengers on the San Francisco BART station?
No. And why do you always find these pictures of people naked on public transportation?
What?
is that
see,
your...
See, what had happened was...
Is that your best defense?
Because I was getting ready to call you a liar and then realized you weren't lying.
yeah.
Well,
go with
see,
that. Oh.
See, well.
Yeah.
The,
mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
Let me find out.
I do not know.
To get on YouTube and say, let me find naked public transportation menaces.
No, it just comes across my desk like a memo.
Mm.
But he, now when I say he was naked, he was completely ass naked. And nobody put a little black dot over Mr. Winky. And this fool is doing the splits and twirling. he's twirling and
his life, right?
He's twirling and his little soldier is twirling too. Every single time he flips up in the air and comes down. And then he like jumped on this man's back and attacked this woman and pushed her down and was rubbing himself all over her. And then he was just rubbing himself all across the ground and rolling around. And then the police came.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? I have a love-hate relationship with the police, but you couldn't pay me enough to tackle that naked fool and handcuff him. And how about they didn't tase him? See, I would have tased him first.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, tasing would have been number one, numero uno option.
Right. And not only would I have tased him, I would have added sound effects while I was doing it. Now what? Now what, son? I would have had disciplinary action so fast.
That's what I said. I'm going to wear out this battery on this one. Watch.
Right. Now what you got to say?
Dance your way out of that.
Right. Flip on this, bitch.
See? Reason number 65, why Kamal should not be in law enforcement.
No, that was actually like number 72.
Well, I didn't say that was the last number. It's just a number.
And wait, here's where I flip my wig. So I'm watching him act all crazy, right? And my jaw's kind of dropping. I'm like, who does this? And so he lays stomach down, and it's just laying on the ground. And this guy in a bicycle is walking his bicycle through the lobby. As soon as he passes him, he just kicks him in the ass. Because I wanted to kick him too.
Because you know the dude in the bicycle was sitting in the lobby waiting to get by for about an hour and a half while this fool was acting out.
Right, exactly. And he was like, see, that would have been me all day, except for I don't want butt juice on my shoes.
Knowing you, you'd have kicked off your shoes, kicked them, put your shoes back on, and kept it moving.
You know, you're kind of right about that. And just got some wipes out of my purse, out of my mom bag.
Right. Right.
And got rid of the DNA and kept on moving.
Kept it moving. Kept
it moving. Nothing is not practical. Nothing is not practical.
Practical and cautious.
Right. I'm so practical and cautious that I would fully kick a stranger in the ass.
Well, if you can't kick a stranger and there's no family around, who can you kick?
Who can you kick? Right.
Who can you kick? I ask you.
Naked men in the park. That's who you kick. And then we talked about the woman who was just full-on naked. Well, wasn't that in your neck of the woods, though, or was that in the L.A. transportation? That was L.A.,
wasn't it? I thought it was ATL.
No. It was L.A.
She stripped down. You sent me the video. I don't know where she went. She stripped down and went buck wild, literally, butt naked, buck wild, on the bus.
Oh, so that's a different one. So what I'm talking about, got naked and just sat down.
Yeah, she crossed her legs. Took the clothes off, and then sat down on the bus.
Like it was Sunday, and she had on her Sunday hat. She crossed her legs and put her little hands on her lap and sat up straight, like we were the crazy ones. You know,
right.
Everybody else.
This is how it's going down.
Right, you know, let's get this bus moving. Why are y'all looking at me? I don't understand.
Let me get my hand ready to pull the lever at my stop.
Right. And I don't understand what's going on with this country that naked transportation riding has become the new thing. That's a trend I'm going to pass on, but I'm a little puzzled.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, things that make you go, like, I swear to God, something is not right with Snowden. Something ain't right.
Oh, see, you're going to go there already. We're going to go there already. We can't have a nice conversation about society. Now you want to talk about Snowcap Boy. I call him Snowcap because somebody is spitting to bust a cap in his secrecy revealing behind.
Yep. He going to come. Who going to find you? Some old man fishing.
Yep. Yep. Going to be wishing. Some
y'all going to make me lose my mind up in here. Something just ain't right. I don't know what his motivation is. And I know we talked about this last week, but he had a press conference, a web press conference, where he was fielding questions like he's freaking Leonardo DiCaprio. He's
only
liking
with the
it
movie
too
that
much.
Somebody wants to see. Unlike The Great Gatsby.
But here's
people
the thing.
People are interested in this story.
Here's the thing, switching to The Great Gatsby. It's F. Scott Fitzgerald. Who was going to go? It doesn't matter if it's Jay-Z layered with F. Scott Fitzgerald. It's F. Scott Fitzgerald. I went to see it, and you know what the problem was? The problem was Spider-Man.
Oh, because he was in it?
With his non-acting ass.
Well, see,
he stank up the whole film.
Well, I'm going to go here and say this because, one, I didn't see it. I've seen the other two or three versions of it. And the movie, the story, no matter what older people want to say, the story does not resonate with younger people anymore. And they keep making remakes, and all the remakes end up doing badly, box office-wise or ratings-wise. And, you know, when you take something that really is not going to resonate with a younger audience, which you're targeting, and just because you put in a cool, hip actor with a cool, hip-hop composer soundtrack, your story is still old and doesn't matter to today's generation.
No, the only people that went to see it besides me were lit heads. No, nobody wants to see that.
Little girls who love Leo.
Right, maybe. Even they have their limits. With Atlas Shrugged. Wasn't nobody going to see that but lit heads?
Well, them and
Rand
all
Paul.
All the Republicans who want to be known for standing up against Obama's policies that were really the Republican policies 30 years ago.
Right. You missed that one, didn't you, big dummies?
But to get back on Snowden, I think it's interesting. And by interesting, I don't mean like, wow, that's something that you would want to understand, interesting, but like, isn't this peculiar that he is, the policy itself is being praised by Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney is calling Snowden a traitor, and then Snowden is thanking Dick Cheney for calling him a traitor, by saying anyone that Dick Cheney calls a traitor is really a hero.
Right. How did that happen?
Talk about strange bedfellows. I mean, where are we now? And you're right. We discussed this last week, but I still don't. I'm with you 100%. I still don't understand, other than being an attention junkie, what this guy's whole deal is. What is he hoping to accomplish by doing this? It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Child, please. And I mean.
Oh, and speaking of child, please, real quick. You saw your uncle, Chad Ochocinco, got out of jail since we last spoke. He was given 30 days for slapping his attorney's rear. And this is a heated debate. I even had this with my dad on Father's Day. I don't think what he did warranted the judge's reaction the way she reacted. Because, one, she didn't see it. She just saw what the gallery saw, or what the gallery did. And I think knowing that he is a former football player, and we can debate all day long whether he was any good or as good as he professed to be, it's what when you instruct your client to congratulate his attorney, and your client is a former football player who's used to congratulating people by giving them a slight tap on the rear end, you can't get upset if that's what they do.
I think you can. I think you can, because I don't think it was the act of the butt tap. I think it was that it brought the decorum of the entire courtroom down.
Right, but I don't, again, this is the argument I said to my dad who hadn't seen the video. If you looked at it, if you look at the video, I don't think he was doing it to play for laughs. And trust me, I'm not a Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco supporter in any way, shape, or form. I think he's a fool. But I think it was almost a reflex action. And then he stood there after he did it like, oh, you know, I didn't see that act of clowning that you normally see from him when he does something where he's actually trying to be a clown. So, and to yesterday when she released him from his 30-day sentence that was reduced to 7 days, I think she tried to justify her actions by bringing to light some of the things that happened during the trial to justify why she did it.
So basically
she
was saying,
she's basically saying,
I'm sick of his shit and he's been cutting up since the get. Is that where she was going?
Yep. And I think, and again, this is all speculation. I don't know for sure, but it almost seemed like someone probably came down on her for giving him that sentence based upon what he did, and she was detailing the litany of things that happened and why she did what she did. And again, could be wrong. I'm purely speculating. I don't know, but that's what it seemed like to me, because when your mama tells you can't go out and play and beat your butt, she doesn't detail to you why. You know why, and everybody else needs to just think about it.
Well, I mean, maybe that was the case. I mean, we haven't been privy. Maybe she had told him, you know, cut the smiling, cut the side jokes,
shucking,
you know,
and jiving, mm-hmm.
Right? You know, knock this crap off. And then what we see is the final result of her snapping.
Right.
Where she's
and
didn't I tell you?
Exactly. And you know, we don't, again, like you said, we don't know for sure how it all went down, because this was not a trial that was globally covered by CNN like some of the other trials that they try to make the national conscience become aware of. So, we, you know, there weren't cameras in the courtroom every day. There weren't transcripts being read by Pierce, what's his name, to replace Larry King?
Brosnan?
No, see, I kept saying Pierce Brosnan. The one who replaced Larry King on CNN. Pierce Morgan.
Pierce Hyde Park?
Pierce no. Earring?
Wait, no, that's David Hyde Pierce.
Mm, 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 mm.
I couldn't. him the
it's
good
the American.
Name.
I'm the one that's supposed to be the
He's
troublemaker.
He's a foreigner anyway.
Right, but you know, all the trials that they hype up, he's the one
right.
that, you know, he's reading the transcripts after, the, you know, at 12 o'clock at night on his show, whatever. But you're right, we don't have privy, we weren't privy to all of that, all that was going on. But I want to believe what she did was justified. But on the surface, from what I saw, from what we all were privy to seeing, it really didn't seem like it to me. It really didn't justify it. You know, he didn't make a big show out of it. He didn't jump up and down and do it. He didn't, you know, chest bump him. She said, congratulate your, thank your lawyer for the work he did on your behalf. And he reached over, hey, thanks. And that's, when you take someone that doesn't have class and you expect them to do a classy act and they don't, you can't get mad at them. You know, if someone climbs into your yard and your dog chews them up, you can't get mad at your dog. You shouldn't have climbed in the yard.
Or the San Francisco Zoo tiger cage.
Well, if you're going to bring Siegfried Roy into this, a whole lot we can talk about.
Well, I wasn't bringing them into it, but okay.
So anyway, getting back to your boy Snowden, you're absolutely right. What is the what is that we don't know, that we haven't been told yet, or hasn't revealed himself yet? What is the real motivation?
Some may write.
And while we're talking about it, let's just real quick go over this, the media hype that they are putting out about him. First of all, this man wasn't earning $200,000 being a system analyst. Even if he was a team lead, maybe $120K, maybe.
Yeah, that was some yen he was bringing in.
And maybe that's it. Maybe his declared income was enough to make the IRS look at him. Because, again, something just weren't right. The numbers just don't add up. And whatever he had access to as a former sysadmin type person, I can tell you he may have seen the files, he may have been able to call up the files, but if we are to believe what his background is, what the media is making it out to be, he would not have been in a position to be looking, to be calling up officially or unofficially, or being in a position to get that data. Because I've worked in one of the most prestigious hospitals here in this country, and I'm not even going to go down and mention names or whatever, and I had access to the system files, and though if I wanted to, and these were in the days before HIPAA, if I wanted to, I could have looked at patient information. But really, my access allowed me to move the files and not really have access to what was in the files, if that makes sense. I know it makes sense to you because you're an IT person as well. But
yeah, I get it.
Listening audience, he may have been able to say, all right, I know that there are 300 gigabytes of information on citizen XYZ, and I'm going to move this 300 gigabytes of information from this location to that location electronically. And if someone says, give me all the information you have on citizen XYZ, he may be able to pull that information up and give them access to it. But I guarantee you, unless something is really wrong in our system today, if he tried, himself to look at that information without authorization, it would have been flagged, and someone, and maybe that's the impetus, maybe that, if I think it through, maybe that's the impetus, somebody would have said, what you doing looking at this information? We asked you to move it. You're not supposed to be looking at it. Maybe that's why he whistle blew.
Or maybe the Chinese government gave him a virus to upload that gave him access to all that stuff. Something ain't right.
You could be right, Jack Bauer.
You know, thank you. That's Jackie.
Jackie Bauer?
Yep.
Jacqueline Bauer?
Yep.
I'm not saying it is, it isn't, because I don't know either way. But just like you said, the whole lot that's not going on. That's not being revealed.
Right. I mean, honestly, I can't believe that a contractor had access to all that information just sitting there. I cannot wrap my head around the government being that lax. Because, look, I worked at Microsoft for years. Some of those years, all those years, actually. No, two, except for two of them. I was a contractor. As a contractor, I couldn't even VPN. For those of you who don't know what VPN is, when you remotely access the servers, you know, if you're working from home and you dial in. As a contractor, I couldn't do that. Even at AT&T, you know, as a contractor, I have access to some stuff, but a lot of stuff I do not have access to. Nor will they allow you to email specific stuff out of the network. I was trying to fix a phone. I needed the executable. I could not sideload the executable, and I could not email the executable to myself from my AT&T account. They don't even you know how you have those things like Dropbox,
mm-hmm.
where you can't Dropbox inside the corporate network. Because they don't want you dropping, you know, an internal document and accessing outside of the company and selling it to T-Mobile. I can't believe that our government didn't have just that kind of basic stuff.
And, again, like to piggyback on what you're saying and to agree exactly what you're saying, he may have had access to move that data. But I'm sure that data was encrypted. So, and most checks and balances in most security organizations I've worked in, unless you were on a very certain level, you could either decrypt the data once it was given to you, but you couldn't go get the data. Or you could get the data, but it wasn't decrypted, so what you were looking at was encrypted information, and you wouldn't be able to read it anyway. And the
unless
moment
the Chinese government.
Unless maybe the Chinese government.
Gave you a little type of decryption file.
Right. But what I'm saying is, on its surface, if you do that, if you're doing that, it's, somebody is going to recognize that's what you're doing, and you're going to have to stand tall before the man and explain what it was you was doing. Why are you looking at this file? Why are you accessing this information and decrypting it? And if that's what was coming his way, it may have been good for him to go and live in China or Singapore or wherever and then cover his tracks by exposing what he was doing. So it looked like if and when they catch up with him, he can try to come off as some sort of folk hero, IT, folk legend, this generation's Kevin Mitnick.
Yeah, but look at what how long it took Kevin Mitnick to repair the public opinion of him because he was such a
right.
dork.
Well, first of all, it took a long time to understand who Kevin Mitnick is and what Kevin Mitnick was doing. I mean, when you've got to write a book so that the general public knows who you are. And again, that just leads to my theory, right? No one outside the IT industry and community really knew who Kevin Mitnick was, and even fewer of us understood the implications of what he was doing.
Right, but 20 years later.
Yeah, 20 years later, because he wrote a book, because movies have come out, and because the whole idea of corporate espionage is no longer people selling perfume secrets, perfume recipes at a table in a restaurant in France, and know that somewhere, somehow, someone can touch your data from sitting in their kitchen. And even back then when Kevin was doing what he was doing in the 90s, that was, you know, almost science fiction.
But, you know, I'm not sure right now that we'll all look back on Snowden fondly 20 years from now.
No, probably won't. He's going to go to jail for real.
He's an arrogant ass.
I
don't think that he did any of this for the good of the American people.
Nope.
And I'm pretty sure he was paid by a foreign government or something. It'll come out.
I just think he got in trouble either because he was doing stuff he wasn't supposed to, because he was arrogant, because I haven't met too many system admin who weren't to some degree arrogant on some level. Or, like you said, there was an outside force influencing his actions. But either way, I think he was about to get busted for it, and he decided to cover his tracks by coming off as, "I'm exposing things that the government doesn't want you to know." You know, there is a security practice that's known as security through obscurity, where you keep things illegible. You keep things obscure so they don't look to be interesting. So therefore, people don't want to go after the information because it doesn't look like it's anything. And you do things to disguise how you have things set up so it doesn't look like it needs to be protected. But again, we'll all find out eventually. And hopefully we don't find out after one of the military's flying killer robots catches up with him. Because if they have to send in SEAL Team 6, he will be brought back so they can expose everything he did know.
Yep, he gonna get a rocket right up his behind.
He's gonna be the Rocket Man. He's gonna be the song that Elton John was singing. He's a Rocket Man. But for a whole different reason. So, getting off of that fool, you're high school classmate is back in the news. Sarah Palin is back on Fox.
Why is she mine? She banned me.
Well, I think I'm giving her to you because, as far as I can check in my research, she went to so many different colleges that the only thing I can prove that she didn't do was go to school on the East Coast. So she probably at one point was in at least one of your classes on the West Coast.
I can't with her. if they give Michelle Bachmann, I mean, okay, granted, I don't have to watch her show or any show they may give Michelle Bachmann. That said, it's not like I'm not going to see it.
Right.
You know,
and I saw
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I saw on The Daily Show, the guy who's sitting in for Jon Stewart has suggested that we all just ignore Sarah. We can just ignore her and just let it go away. But for the last 7 years, I've tried to ignore Rush Limbaugh, but he won't just go away.
Right.
So we can choose to ignore her for the foolish fool that she really is. But like a bad penny, she's going to keep turning up, and you can't turn her off because even if you don't want to, you're going to be exposed to her idiocy and her fact that they've given her another platform. I don't get it.
I mean, and after they so ceremoniously dumped her before, what has she done from the time that they dumped her to now that makes them think that people want her back on television? And was there some, like, petition that I missed?
Hmm.
I don't get it. I don't understand why we are being, this woman is being forced upon us. And she says nothing of substance, and she talks in circles, and you look at her, and you're like, what did she just say?
Right, and I think that's part of the appeal, right? Maybe that's why you didn't get the survey, or you didn't get the petition, and I didn't get the petition, and nobody we know got the petition, because we're not part of the group that actually listens to what she has to say as something worth listening to. You know, and there
maybe
is a section of this country that does.
Maybe it was her banishment of me that got her little gig back, because she operates just like Fox, you know, keep the truth from people. Tell them what you want them to hear. Don't let them see anything but the positive stuff for your side. You know what? I think I want 10%. I believe I got her gig back.
Well, I'd have been happy if they just gave her an umbrella. But no, if you're the reason for this, then I'll find some way to associate you with Snowden and have this whole thing come full circle for real, for real.
For real, for real. I don't know. I can't wait for it all to come to a head if he ever come back into the country, you know. But since he can't keep his ass out of the media, you know, given press conferences and stuff like he's Morgan Freeman.
Let me ask you this. Did Batman go to Singapore to bring that man back?
Shut up.
You said Morgan Freeman. It just made me think about it. If Batman went to Singapore to get him, or Taiwan to get him, guarantee you the United States can find a way to get Snowden back here. And the ticket will not be refundable.
And here's the thing. I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, you and I both know that if this country really, really wanted Snowden back, he'd be back. He would be hogtied and thrown on the South Lawn of the White House. But I think the White House is thinking about the optics of it. And I think that for once they're playing it smart, and they know if they go over there and drag his ass back, it's not going to look good. But make no mistake about it. If they want him, they will have him. He's too stupid. He's too arrogant. He's too much in love with his 15 minutes of fame. Please. They know exactly where he is right now, and they probably have a satellite trained on the zit on his ass right now.
Yeah, well,
they just giving him a little bit of room to breathe and hang himself, not literally.
Right, but we also know that Your boy Eric Holder don't care.
Nope.
So
Honey Badger don't.
Honey Badger don't care. Badger Holden decides, okay, it's going down now, he going to get got.
Real quick.
We will be watching TV and see him being bootwalked across the tarmac, and you're going to call me and go, I want to know, how did they catch him?
Catch him. Because clearly he cannot sleep in a bucket.
Bucket. I bet he's where he's sleeping now, though. I bet he's trying to sleep in a bucket.
No, you know what? I envision him the host of somebody. I don't know who it is. But he's got his legs crossed up on the table and a little bit of, you know, a flute of something, champagne, wine, whatever, just enjoying the life until 3 weeks from now when they say, okay, you know, we've wined you and dined you enough. Where are the goods? And then he going to have a Colombian necktie.
I'm wondering, what color will that necktie be? Will it be purple with pink?
I think it'll be checker pointed and dotted. What's it called?
Polka dotted and checkerboarded.
Checkerboarded, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, that.
Maybe it'll be waterboarded.
You know?
Either way, guarantee you.
Guarantee you.
Boyfriend's on borrowed time right now.
Yep.
Enjoy it while you can. Because, as old Osama bin Laden will tell you, they don't play. When they want you, they going to get you.
Yeah.
When the time is right. When the time for getting hits, nothing you can do. Hide over in wherever you think you're safe, a stand. They come through the door.
Bust your ass to stand.
Is this my cave of stand?
Right.
I thought you all promised me protection of stand.
Nope, ain't happening to stand.
Better call your mama stand, because it's over. It's over.
It's over, Stan.
It's over, Stan. I just want them to do the same thing with Sarah Palin. Take her over to Alaska and let her meet with some freaky snow machine. Some freaky snow machine versus moose accident.
What are those things called, Zambonis?
You can put lipstick on a pit bull, or can you put lipstick on a corpse? Because clearly, the people at Fox are continuing their reign of idiocy and allowing her back on the air. Now, I don't know, is she getting her own show, or is she just going to be back on Fox and Friends? I mean, what?
I don't know where she's going to be.
Because I told my people, I can't. My dad watches Fox News. I can't, because I can't afford to replace my television every couple weeks.
I hope he's watching it from the standpoint of know thy enemy.
He's watching it because he says it gives him good material. Because for those who don't know, my father is a renowned cartoonist, Walt Carr, and he gets a lot of, he's a political satirist, cartoonist, and he gets a lot of material from watching Fox News. He's the one who told me who Alan West was. I had never heard of Alan West. I was like, No, Batman was played by Adam West. And then he told me, no, you got to see this fool on television who was just elected to Congress from Florida. And I sat there with my jaw on the floor.
Wait.
Wasn't he a piece of work? Woo!
Just imagine he and Michelle Bachmann on the same side of any issue. And
yet that's happened frequently.
Right. And you can clearly see why nothing was getting done in Congress. Because she's running around saying they're communists in the United States government. And he's running around thinking he's the second coming of Black Joe McCarthy, trying to name names.
That whole thing was crazy. I mean, there were just no words for Alan West that I can... And, you know, I curse a lot on the show, but...
It's just amazing.
Between him and what was that idiot Tea Party guy from Illinois? What was his name? You know, the one that didn't have, that wasn't paying child support.
I know it was Alan Keyes.
No, not Alan Keyes. He was the white guy.
I think Alan Keyes is from Maryland, but they sent him to Illinois to try to run against Obama when Obama was running for Congress.
Right. The Republicans good for just picking a black person to run against another black person just because they're black.
Right. If they're going to pick a black, let them pick our black. If they're going to pick a woman, let them pick our woman.
Exactly.
Well, let's jump off politics for a quick second and talk about the Trayvon Martin trial, jury selection.
I don't know if that's exactly jumping off of politics. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's preface it. Let me change that. Let's jump off of Washington, D.C. politics and jump on political hot potato, the great racial divide.
Better. Yeah. Let's start with George Zimmerman's idiot father and his stupid book. Here's what I don't understand. So his father, like, self-published a book, an e-book. And I don't remember the exact quotes, but he basically, you know, talked about the NAACP was a racist organization, and the United Negro College Fund was racist, and the Urban League was racist. I mean, he just ticked off all these problems that he had with various black organizations, and he was setting forth a narrative that it's black people who are racist, not white people. Now, my question to you is, how'd that help his son? Both his sons have said crazy stuff. I mean, is that clearly you can make the case that this is the way they were raised.
And his father just
wake up today with these attitudes. They were raised in, and I'm not going to say racist because that's a strong word, but at the very minimum, a prejudice household. And you don't think that George Zimmerman wasn't targeting Trayvon? Mm-mm. No, ma'am.
But his father was a seated judge, correct?
Yep. How about that for a Florida justice?
So you take a household where, last I checked, now, I could be wrong because this isn't, oh, my God, they're coming to get me, Stan. But I thought in America, judges were supposed to be jurists and impartial. We know there isn't. We know that that's not true, but supposedly. So you're raising your children in a household where you believe the NAACP is a racist organization, and the National Urban League is a racist organization, and black people who have been subjugated, murdered, divided, and treated as subhuman for the majority of the history of this country. And you think that they are prejudiced, which, not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but a lot of us are. And you're going to spew this venom at the dinner table every night, and then have your son go out and join a neighborhood watch program where he is patrolling exclusive neighborhoods looking for black perpetrators. And say, my child isn't racist. It's those racist niggas that is racist.
Right. Couldn't have said it better myself.
I mean, I just...
It's out of control, Yale. It's out of control.
But you're right, Kamal. You're absolutely right. If I'm his defense lawyer, I'm visiting Mr. Zimmerman Sr. with a baseball bat and some duct tape.
You know, I mean, he just really just... And I know that Mr. Zimmerman Sr. and the other brother are not on trial, or not, will not be on trial, but I hope the prosecutor is skilled enough to somehow get that their statements and the book into evidence to prove that it was premeditated. Not the killing, but the pursuit. The pursuit was premeditated. He saw a black boy. He doesn't have any type of trust of black people because of the way he was raised, based on the words from his father in a book, and his brother, and he targeted Trayvon. Now, did he target him to shoot him? I'm not going to go that far, but he certainly did target him to stalk him.
Again, I'm going to say he profiled him. And when he profiled him and he reported his suspicions, he was told, thank you, keep your ass in the truck.
Heck yeah, he profiled him, and I want it to somehow be shown that he profiled him because that's the way he was raised.
He was exposed to it early and often. It was reinforced. What has to come in is his previous bad behavior, his previous run-ins with law enforcement, his understanding of the law enforcement system. That. And I know we have at least two people I know personally who are lawyers who listen to the show who may chime in or may not. I'm not sure. But from my narrow view of the law, his previous prior bad acts that got him in trouble with the law, the fact that his father is a judge, should be allowed to be brought in to say he knew when he called 911, the person he was reporting to was an authoritative figure whose direction he should have followed. And when that operator said, thank you, do not follow him, thank you, we asked you not to follow him, now break off. Thank you, we asked you not to follow him, we told you to break off. Just do not get out of your vehicle. He repeatedly showed careless disregard for the authority he entrusted his actions to. therefore, the results are the result. Sorry that Trayvon Martin is dead. Deeply sorry. But had he not had the influence that he has in his life and background, he would have left well enough alone. Trayvon Martin would be alive. He wouldn't have taken an ass whipping if he took an ass whipping, and he would not be in jail right now on trial for his life.
Nope. He'd be sitting at home calling the po-po and other black kids. But the thing I worry about with getting in his prior bad acts, the defense has been trying to do that with Trayvon from the get. And I worry that once the door is open, it's open. Now, has Trayvon done anything in his past that I'm worried about? No, I'm not. Me personally, no. But we're dealing with Florida here.
True.
And I just
Trayvon
don't know.
Is the victim. The victim's prior life isn't a crime.
But you know what? That hasn't stopped them from trying to put it out there in the court of public opinion.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And I don't know if, you know, I don't think it has any bearing on the case, but, you know, I'm concerned about opening that door. I'm not concerned that, you know, like I said, personally, I don't think that anything that we've seen from Trayvon's past is noteworthy. He's the kid flipping off the camera, you know, taping people fight. Okay, there's thousands of YouTube videos of teenagers taping teenagers fighting and flipping off cameras. But I just don't know how progressive I am in that school of thought of it just kids being kids, you know?
Yeah.
But I so want to get his daddy's book into evidence. You just don't even know. And
again,
I want the ACLU to look at the cases in which George Zimmerman's father was the judge and see if there was a disparity in sentencing.
Well, let me say two things. One, Trayvon's history, no matter what it was, should be inadmissible because he was not doing anything that was found later in his phone record information that George Zimmerman found suspicious. That's like saying, well, I didn't know that the person was a rapist, but I stopped them from looking at the window. So therefore, because they were a rapist, I was justified, even though I didn't know it at the time, and that's not what I was shooting them for. That's my first point. My second point is, and as I say this, I know you disagree with me originally, but let me finish out. I want Mr. Zimmerman's book to be a success and a bestseller. I want it to make a lot of money. I want people to buy it all over the world. Because regardless of the outcome of the civil trial, Trayvon Martin's family is going to come after Zimmerman financially, and I want there to be money to pay. How much money is your child's life
worth?
His father is
shiesty, and his mother is from, like, Peru. He will move his family to Peru and hide that money. Don't think for a second that Zimmerman's father isn't crafty like that.
Oh, I believe you. I believe he is that shiesty and that shaky and probably all those things and more. But O.J.'s money got. So he can run and hide.
Yeah, but that was O.J.'s money, not O.J.'s daddy's money. There's a difference.
Well,
I don't think Zimmerman Jr. is going to get any of the proceeds from Senior's book.
No, but if you got the right people going after, following the dollar, they can get the dollar.
Yeah, I guess so.
And if the book proves to be part of the evidence that set George Zimmerman's mind set to where it is, it could be argued that his father's book is proof that his son was the racist Rasta bastard that he is. We're coming after that money. Because you are profiting on the body of a 17-year-old child who was murdered for walking down the street, minding his business, headed home.
And you know what? You know, and we can't let the police department off the hook. Because, you know, they've kept a low profile since the chief or whatever retired. But you know what? As far as they were concerned, Trayvon was just another nigga. That's why they didn't pursue it like they were supposed to pursue it until that citizen got involved. You know, they just assumed that he was another little black kid up to no good. You know, that whole attitude has to change from the top down. So somebody needs to be going after the police department when it's all said and done. And I wouldn't sue them for a thousand million trillion dollars. I'd sue them to get some diversity training in there.
Well, $1,000 million won't hurt either, but let me be clear about that as well. As I've said on the show, and as we've discussed on the show and in other venues, George Zimmerman. I come every time we talk about the police come down my neighborhood. George Zimmerman.
There's your ride again.
Right. George Zimmerman did not come up with the stand my ground defense after he shot Trayvon.
No, the police shot him out of that.
Right. Somebody in the police department who arrived on the scene took him aside and said, "This is what you have to say." That's why the initial detective on the scene thought there was enough evidence there to hold him and was told to stand down. There was collusion in that department, and whether it was based on his father being a judge or the fact that, as you said, somebody said nothing but another black kid dead, and this is how we're going to get you out of it, Mr. White person. There was collusion, and that collusion led to where Trayvon is right now.
Yep, it's almost like the cops had a throwaway piece on their ankle, and that throwaway piece was stand your ground.
Yep. Yep. And they knew there was trouble. They knew there was a problem. That's why they came up with that for him. That's why they let him walk into the
And they probably knew his father. Was his father a judge in the same community?
I think his father was a judge in Virginia and was retired by the time they went to Florida, but was influential in politics down there.
Yeah, I know he was retired, but I was wondering, I can't remember if he was a judge in that area or not, and they knew him by reputation, the father.
Yeah,
and he had done them a couple of solids.
They knew who his son was. His son probably shouldn't even have been on the Neighborhood Watch program or group. Based on his dealings with the police to begin with, he'd already been arrested a couple times for various misdemeanor charges. How are you going to be on the Neighborhood Watch when you've been arrested for assaulting a police officer? Where do they do that at?
apparently there.
Right.
You know, I just wonder how much of his father's position had influence. I wonder how many favors he called in. And you know, I wonder about his, about Zimmerman Jr.'s psyche. You know, does he feel like grandiose? You know, delusions of grandeur. Why did he feel that he was the savior of the neighborhood?
Because they are going to get away with it again, right? Documented statement. Documented statement on the 911 tape. They always get away with it. Has it been established yet whether or not, has evidence come out whether or not there was alcohol in Zimmerman's blood at the time of the arrest?
Wait, what was the question?
Was it ever established or was it ever revealed whether or not Zimmerman had alcohol in his system at the time of the shooting?
I don't think so. But that's a good point.
There was a bug in his bonnet when he went after Trayvon.
Yeah, that bug is called his daddy's racist beliefs.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, before we completely go down the Trayvon Martin rabbit hole, I don't want to. Forget to mention the Supreme Court ruling from this past week about the Arizona law using
go ahead
the using oh God, I keep forgetting the phrase. Now I got stand your ground in my mind, but it's stopping whatever the basically racial profiling.
Stop, drop, and roll. Is that the wrong one?
I can't with you sometimes. I work really hard at trying to be a better me. You catch me like right up under my rib cage. And I want really hard not to snort, but you make me okay.
And that's for Aqua Boogie. Because you know that song is about swimming.
You know what? If that's what you're upset about, I didn't
think
that. That is not why I posted that song on your page. Okay, America. Let me straighten everything out real quick, and then we'll readdress the Arizona law. I was in a DJ mood, type of feeling mood today. And I posted some lyrics on my Facebook page to see how many people knew what song or what songs I was posting. And I came across Aqua Boogie. And I was chair dancing my behind off today. And I said, oh, I'm going to post this on Kamal's page because I know she likes Parliament Funkadelic.
That's my jam. Aqua Boogie
right.
Is my jam.
But it had nothing to do with your naive understanding or lack of understanding of certain song lyrics. I'm so past that. It's beyond belief.
Oh.
I was posted.
I've been cussing
so
you out all
jam.
Day. I have been cussing you out all day because I was like, Don't bring no SH, won't bring no IT. That song is about swimming. I don't care what you say.
Why was she upset with me? No, I was jamming.
Ah, okay. Well, good. Because that's my song. That's my daughter's song. We have that song on blast constantly. And I thought you were trying to tell me something, like I was wrong.
No. Bio Aquadulu. It's motion picture underwater starring most of you. I was breaking it.
Kick the rhythm of the stroke.
I was like, oh.
Why should I hold my breath?
Feeling like I might choke. See, that's my jam. I thought you were starting to mess, and I was getting ready to cut you.
Lord, see, it's why we can't get along, America. It's why people
because you know what?
Andrew.
You have set a precedence for this mess. So, I don't want to hear it.
I just set the precedent. You the one.
Yeah, you've been messing with me. You've been messing with me for like 3 weeks straight. And on songs, and everything I say gets twisted sexually. So what? Would you post sexual chocolate on my board for?
Because it was funny, him dropping the mic and walking off.
Oh, okay. See, you got me all paranoid and twisted.
And it was Randy Watson, the band of Sexual Chocolate.
Whatever.
The singer is Randy Watson.
I don't care. Okay,
I drops the mic and then points stage right and walks off stage. That mess
is you're messing with my mind. You've been messing with my mind. You got me second guessing everything.
Those of you who weren't hip enough to see Coming to America back in the day, the scene where Eddie Murphy's playing the community singer, Randy Watson, with his band Sexual Chocolate. The end of the song, he drops the mic, puts his hands up, and then points stage right, and walks off stage is hilarious. And I posted that on my good friend Kamal's Facebook page today, too. Can't even tell a good joke, nobody no more.
Well, you got me all raw and twisted. I'm tipping lightly.
After she posted some Grandmaster Flash stuff, who'd you post on my page the other day?
I posted Freedom by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and don't even tell me that you weren't jamming to that.
Exactly. That's why I hit you back with some Parliament Funkadelic.
Okay, all right.
See, black man no matter what we do, no matter what we do,
you
we
know how you
go.
Is.
We always
you know exactly go. How you is.
Can't catch a break. That's ridiculous.
But you know what? You used no. You used to be able to catch a break. I never went there with you. But see, you know what?
It.
You got me on my
if
P's and Q's.
If you expose to our over 35,000 listeners that you didn't know, pull up to the bumper, that was a sexual connotated song.
I stand by my story.
Well, we believe you. We believe you didn't
know.
Well,
see, and that's what I thought you were doing with Aqua Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Messing with me. But tell me this, though. When you listened to Freedom, did you not just break it down? Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, did you not start chair dancing?
I may have been, you know, busting a move.
Cause that song was
the snake. I may have done the snake in my chair.
Okay.
But you didn't do the same thing, Aqua Boogie.
Oh, you know I did. I was cussing you out, but while I was cussing you out, I was doing the Reebok from the waist up. I was doing the WAP. I was doing the Running Man without the running. Shoot.
And I started to, and I didn't even think about it. That shows you how innocent I am on this. I started to post One Nation Under a Groove, but then I said, she's going to come off with some,
groove.
Oh, I'm too young to remember that mess.
Mm-mm, mm-mm,
so I went Aqua Boogie, and I started to go Kid and Play.
Aqua Boogie, which is older than One Nation, by the way.
No, you're wrong.
Yes. No.
You're wrong. One Nation came out in the 70s. Aqua Boogie
so did
came
Aqua
out.
Boogie.
Aqua Boogie came out when I was in my senior year in high school.
You're wrong, because I remember the album. Okay, how much money you want to bet?
Look it up. Look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Come with it, Cletus, because I'm offline. I can't access my intranets right now.
Okay, winner of 1979 is Aqua Boogie, released 1978. Boom. One Nation Under a Groove. I'm going to say One Nation Under a Groove is 82. Let's just get you straight right now. One Nation Under a Groove. Oh, I'm busted out too. 78. They both came out in 78.
So there you go.
What do you mean there you go? We both was wrong.
But I'm less wrong than you.
How are you less wrong than me when you was talking about Aqua Boogie came out in the 80s?
No, I said Aqua Boogie came out my senior year in high school. I came out of high school in 1980. So that would have been 79.
I told you that Aqua Boogie was older than One Nation Under a Groove and that Aqua Boogie came out first. And you said that, oh, Aqua Boogie came out in the 80s. And I was like, no, it did not. It came out in the 70s because I remember the album.
Sorry. But America heard me say Aqua Boogie came out my senior year in high school. Because
nigga, don't nobody know when your senior year in high school was. And by the way, since you're 8 years older than me, your senior year of high school was 1980.
Right. So the song came out in 79.
Don't even try and clean it up. Don't even try to clean it up.
I
called you on it right then and there. I said
One Nation in the 70s. You said 82.
I did say One Nation 82. I also said Aqua Boogie came out before One Nation Under a Groove, and I said Aqua Boogie came out in the 70s.
Yes, you did. And I said One Nation came out in the 70s.
You clearly said something came out in the 80s. It don't matter because you was wrong.
No, because
I remember the album, and it had this, because my sister showed it to me. It had this pull-out poster with all this bizarre. And I can just see it in my head. I remember thinking as a kid, because my sister told me, that it was just like this bizarre cartoon. I didn't get it.
Let me ask you this, since you're going to be calling people on specifics. Do you understand that you just told America you were 8 years younger than me?
No, I said my sister told me.
No, you said... No, because you're 8 years older than me. That means you came out in 1980. End quote. I can play it back. I can play it back now.
You're 8 years older than me, so you graduated in 1980.
Right, but aren't you 25?
They ain't got nothing to do with what's at hand. Because we have discussed on multiple occasions whatever the year is, I was born 25 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Dropping the mic. Sexual chocolate. Done.
Uh-huh. But if you're 25, you can't be 8 years younger than me because I am 51, proud to say, every day.
That's your defect, not mine.
So next time I mention some
the
stuff
salient point
in 1979,
is,
don't hit me
the
with
the salient point is you graduated
that.
In 1980. That's the salient point.
Yes.
And you're older than me. That's all that needs to be said.
It's a shame when you can't.
Older than me by a lot.
It's a shame.
Old enough to be my daddy.
Well, your mom is kind of hot. However.
Ooh. No, you didn't.
Mom, don't act like you don't know.
Yeah, you know what, though? I got to say it. When that black and white picture of her that I posted, around the time I was born, my mom was hot.
Mom had it going on like rice and gravy.
And, I mean, I had never looked at my mom like that. You know, she's just my mom. But I was looking at that picture. I was like, oh, no wonder my daddy was sprung. Mom had it going on. 5'7", 125, 130 pounds. Please. I was like, all right, Mom, I ain't mad at you.
Built like a Commodore song?
That she was. Mm-hmm. Yep, I never had looked at my mom like that, but Mom was kind of hot.
See, we done got all off track. Now I'm thinking about your mama.
Don't get cussed out.
Mom had it going on. Mom had it going on. No wonder all the boys, you brought your milkshake, brought all the boys to the yard. They were looking at your mama.
My milkshake's a little bigger than her milkshake.
Yeah, but when
I'm
you were 13, it wasn't.
Well,
there
actually,
you go. That's a fight you're going to have on your own, because I'm not going to help
you
with that.
Know
I'm
the
always
truth,
on mama's side.
My milkshake's been a little bigger than hers for a minute.
I ain't.
Mommy and I have never been able to share bras. Never. That said, that's not to take away from the hotness that is Lynette Keeling. Lynette Elizabeth Cecilia Keeling. She's got her little Catholic name in there.
She got all them names. All of them was hot.
And here I am, 5'3". I just don't understand genetics. I really, really don't. My mom is 5'7", 5'7 and a half. My dad wasn't much taller than my mom, though. My dad was about 5'9 or 5'10". And here I am, 5'3".
I think I speak
don't get
for
it.
All the men who've known you all your life, including your husband, and by saying, I think you should be happy to have not gotten a height, but to have gotten the unable to share a bra with your mama attribute. The trade-off ain't bad.
The trade-off is I fall forward if I don't have my gravity center. That's the trade-off.
And again, I speak for your husband and other men in your life by going, yes.
Well, I know, world. I'm getting ready to unleash my daughter, and I think she's got a combination of both because, first of all, her foot is bigger than mine, so she's got to grow into them feet because 5'3 wearing a size 9 is a hobbit and not cute. So I'm assuming she's going to be in the upper 5'6", 5'7".
Well, I hope so, but I know those did not grow into their feet. Look like golf ball teeth walking around. Welcome all in to another one. We gotta keep vigilant.
Stay vigilant. I'll be glad when this jury selection is over with for the trial to get started.
Yeah, I think the trial should just get underway and show all of them. You go to jail.
Right.
And then that's it. That's a wrap. I want the judge to stand up, drop the mic, do Randy Watson, and go on stage and go,
Right. And then give it over to the jury.
Yeah. pull up to my bunk. Here I go. So I'm back up in.
Pull up to the bumper.